This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and delighted to say that Cynthia Rutherford's with us here again today. Cynthia works for Renewal Ministry. She takes care of our newsletter. She's very talented, very artistic member of our staff, and she's got an amazing story of how the Lord brought her from darkness to light. And I asked Cynthia to share that with us. She began yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on the computer, download them, and put them on your iPod. You can listen to them when it's convenient. Welcome back, Cynthia.
Hi, Peter.
Yeah, so yesterday you kind of told us your story, early life story, of how you began in your teen years to really enter into the drug culture, really, at a certain point, and transferring, you know, moving from your home and moving into Ann Arbor and being involved with, at the time, a larger subculture of young men and women who were engaged in using drugs and rock and roll and the whole bit, as you were describing it, and simultaneously experiencing a lot of success in your life and in your career that was growing and a sense of independence, but also being intensely addicted to alcohol and drugs. And then at some point, a colleague you meet at work shows you a different picture of life, a young Catholic guy. You didn't know much about him, but you began to have a friendship with him, and knowing him started getting you to ask yourself some questions. That's sort of where we left it off yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how about if we pick up where we left off yesterday?
Well, as I said, this friend of mine's house burned down, and I invited him to dinner. And while I proceeded to get drunk over dinner, he explained to me about sobriety, which I had never heard of or considered.
So he had been involved in AA himself or something?
And he had been sober for 6 months.
Okay.
So he was still rather fresh and crispy. Mm-hmm. But I began to think maybe what he had was something I wanted. And after suffering for a couple more weeks with the way I was living, I asked him about these meetings that he went to and when there might be one that I might check out. And I thought that he would say, oh, next Friday or, you know, and I could, you know, say, I'll keep that in mind and maybe never go to it.
Yeah.
But he looked at his watch and said, oh, there's one in about 2 hours and it's like six blocks up the road. So, you know, we can go together right after work. And I felt, you know, my fingers get tingly and I suddenly felt a really intense fear about going forward with this. But
can I ask you, Cynthia, you were mentioning how in some ways you were managing your life in your mind, that you were, as you understood it, you were being successful. You had a good jobs that brought good money. You had a beautiful apartment. You had your own car. You had independence. You wanted to travel. You thought, I'm sort of master of my own destiny and I'm feeling pretty good. How did that, just meeting this young guy and him beginning to speak honestly about himself, how did that begin to crack that shell of kind of confidence and superiority? Like, look, I got it together, you know? So,
you know, that's funny because I can't really say. And all I can attribute that to is the grace of God. Just a little bit of grace started to shine on me and just enough light for me to notice that I was in darkness.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, just for listeners to consider, because in many ways you were thinking, look, I'm on top of the heap, actually.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I'm kind of enlightened.
Oh, I'm really smart, I'm and I'm really cool.
Yeah, smart, cool, and I'm a hipster, and I don't need anything else.
Yeah,
and you've got everything around you that reinforces that in your mind.
Yes.
And here's this simple, loving guy who tells you about his own struggle with addiction and sobriety, and then, boom, all of a sudden,
something started to change. And it wasn't willing. I really wasn't a willing participant in this. If that doesn't seem to make much sense to say, but really I wasn't. It's something that just sort of happened to me. So I went to this meeting with him that evening, and I was shaking like a jackhammer. I had never been so scared in my life, and I had been in some very dangerous situations. But being surrounded by, it was the largest meeting in town. I found out later there were about 300 people there. And I was terrified. I felt so on the spot, like everyone was looking at me, and that I suddenly felt like I am sick and wrong, and I need help. Mm. It was very unusual. I suddenly knew just that something needed to change.
Well, what did you hear and what did you see when you got there, besides just all these people? What were they, besides the fact that they had coffee and they were smoking cigarettes, what else was happening there?
They weren't afraid to stand up and talk about sort of their brokenness in front of hundreds of other people. People would stand up and share about what was going on with them. And they all kind of seemed like a family. I, of course, felt like I was the only outsider and that everyone else who was there had been there for years and all knew each other intimately.
Right.
As I found out later, there were other people who had been sober maybe a week before I got there who already were starting to feel more comfortable in their own skin. So that's what I saw. And I think I saw a little bit of something that I wanted for myself. But to be honest, most of the time I was so wrapped up in myself, up in my own head, and just scared to death that it was hard for me to really listen and pay attention to what was going on. Mm-hmm. It took a few meetings mm-hmm. for me to start absorbing anything. Mm-hmm. I think I went to 3 or 4 meetings that week. I continued on with it. It was difficult for me not to use. I didn't know what to do with myself if I wasn't rolling a joint or snorting a line or, you know, trying mm-hmm. to find some drugs.
It's the way you lived life. I mean, up to that point. I mean, it was like how you engage the world every day.
Yes. It's like if normal people would try to live their lives without looking at a TV or a computer all day or a smartphone, it would be difficult. It was just regular everyday life for me, and it had been for so many years. I was in my 30s at this time. And when I finally got sober, I had been using daily for 17 years. So after a few meetings, I would drive around in my car because I was afraid to go home. I didn't know what to do. And I would just drive and drive and drive until I got tired, and then I'd go home and go to bed. That's how I was able to stay sober at first. Mm-hmm. I decided at one point I wasn't sure if I wanted to do this anymore. It was so hard. You know, I'd felt the pain of being sober for 3 or 4 days and I was starting to have feelings and I didn't like it. I needed to go up north to a birthday party for a friend's 100th birthday. And the night before that, I was to meet my sister's new boyfriend. And I went to her place, and she had a couple bottles of wine. I started drinking. I just thought, it's really no big deal. I've tried not to drink for a few days. I'm not sure if this is working out. I can always try to get sober again. So I started drinking, and my tolerance was completely gone. It was the strangest thing. I'd always been able to drink for a tiny person. I could drink 3 bottles of wine in a night, no problem. I think I maybe had 2 glasses. I was stumbling. I was slurring. I was making an absolute fool of myself. And I could tell my sister and my friends were just disgusted with me, mm-hmm. but I had no control over myself. Mm-hmm. And the next day, I had to go to this 100th birthday party, and I was hungover, and I was ashamed, and mm-hmm. I didn't understand what was happening to mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop crying. And I had to leave the party early. I apologized and left. And I told my mother, she was concerned about what was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I said, don't worry. I know what I need to do. I'm going home and I know what I need to do. And I knew that I needed to come back to Ann Arbor and go to one of those meetings that I had been to. Mm-hmm. On the way home, I had sort of a miraculous experience that I cried the whole way. It was black and storming on one side of the highway and bright and sunny on the other side of the highway. And it seemed very surreal. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I noticed out the left window of the car that there was this rainbow, a very intense rainbow. And it seemed like it ended right on my car, right on the hood of my car, right in front of me. And I mean, I've been used to hallucinating for years, but I'd never seen anything like this before. And I was mm-hmm. sober. I hadn't used anything that day. Mm-hmm. And it sort of gave me this feeling of joy, like everything was going to be okay. Mm. Sister Anne pointed out to me later that the rainbow is a sign of a covenant with God. And I, I had never thought of it that way before, but it was a really beautiful, life-changing experience. It gave me consolation, and I didn't know it at the time, but it was God coming into my heart, just that first little bit.
Yeah, and it's and he reached you in the way that's best way to reach you, and you kind of your artistic, there's something beautiful, you know, light to darkness and being down the road, something you would be able to grab all that and experience it and to take it in, and it was very, seems like a very personal way in which the Lord knew how to reach you.
It was very personal, yeah, and I felt like it was a gift for me, and it made me cry sort of in a different way.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid anymore.
Yeah, did you feel like, you know, here you are right in the middle, and there's darkness on one side, and thunder and storm, and then the light, it's almost like the Lord is transitioning you from darkness to light, and somehow you were right at that point.
Yes.
You're right at that point, moving out of the darkness and starting to come into the light is
yes.
what you're experiencing.
And
yeah.
it sounds almost just comical. It sounds, yeah. it just sounds ridiculous, I think, sometimes. I'm almost embarrassed to tell that story yes. sometimes, because yeah. it just sounds nutty, but... It really happened, and it was amazing. Mm. And that was the first of many very amazing gifts that God would give me on my journey.
And so you got back to town. Did you go find a meeting at
that
point?
I did. I had a little meeting schedule, and I was a little bit afraid, but I went all by myself. And I met some women there. And I was still afraid. I was afraid of them. I thought they were weird because they were sober and they were all laughing and having such a great time. I didn't understand how they could be so happy and have so much fun and be sober. It was just very strange to me. They had a few simple instructions for me. They told me to go home and get on my knees and pray. Well, that was very uncomfortable. I did it. I went home and I got at the end of my bed, I got on my knees and I was embarrassed in front of myself. I just felt 100% awkward. And I remember my prayer. It was, I told God, this is silly. And I don't think that I believe in you. But if you are real, I want to know. And could you please, you know, somehow, whatever your ways might be, show me who you are. And he did. He did. Over time, little by little, he revealed himself to me.
It's so amazing just to think yesterday as you were describing, you know, Monday, feeling like you had your life well managed and had it all kind of tied up in a bow, just exactly how you wanted it and all the rest. But there's a whole other world inside you that you just weren't even aware of. And then the Lord, in his love and his mercy, made it possible for you to be able to begin to glimpse your own brokenness as a human being and your own need and how fragile you are. And that's us. That's the human race. That's the human condition. And we all run and hide from it, you know, in different ways. And drug addiction is just one way to do it, but it's happening all the time. In fact, we build a culture around trying to distract ourselves from reality because reality is too difficult to bear. But Cynthia, thanks for sharing that. Can you join us again tomorrow?
I would love to.
Friends, join us again tomorrow. Cynthia's going to continue her story. God bless you all and have a wonderful day. Let's walk in the Lord together. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.